So we have invited Nirantar Prabhuji and he's going to talk how to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. आप सबको मालूम ही है कि next Saturday जो है वो पूर्णिमा है, that's the birthday of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please जोर से स्वागत कीजिए उनका. हरि बोल.
In order to put ourselves in the right frame of mind, I would ask you all to raise your hands and repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Let's do it two more times, please. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Bolo. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. One more time. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Thank you very much. So for me personally, there are a few topics that I am very, very fond of speaking about. One, of course, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Please teach me how to chant, everybody.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The other thing that I like to talk about is Krishna Leela. And then I also am very fond of talking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of my favorite books, one of the four main books that Srila Prabhupada has instructed his disciples to concentrate on, is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita. The author of that book, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, at the very beginning has composed 14 Sanskrit shlokas, which gives the mission statement of the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first 6 verses describes Lord Chaitanya, then 5 verses Nityananda, 2 verses Advaita Acharya, and then the final verse, a glorification of the Pancha Tattva. Please chant with me, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta. So in those first 6 verses that he composed to describe Lord Chaitanya, there's one that's very, very special, which I'd like to talk about. So with your permission, please bless me that I can remember the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Will you bless me? You can bless me by saying, Gora Haribo, Anarpita Chiring Chirat, Karuna Vatirna Kalau, Samarpaitum Unnadtojvala Rasang, Swabhakti Sriyam, Hari Purata Sundara Dhyuti Kadamba Sandipita, Sadahridaya Kandare, Spuratu Va Sachi Nandana. So although the Chaitanya Charitamrita was written in the Bengali language, these verses, these opening 14 verses, are in Sanskrit. And each chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with a Sanskrit shloka, which gives a summary or a gist understanding of what each chapter is explaining. So let's look at this very beautiful verse. Please repeat. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. All right, there's three parts to this verse. That's part number one. So just see how nice. Immediately you have been given a benediction. The composer is blessing you. Now, Lord Chaitanya has many names, just as Krishna has many names. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, also has many names. Here, he is being addressed as the son of his mother, Srimati Sachi Devi. Now, if you study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will come to understand and know that all of the personalities and characters who appeared 5,000 years ago in the Krishna Leela also took birth to assist Krishna in his form as Lord Chaitanya. Just as before Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, all the associates also took their birth in different families. So here, this Srimati Sachi Devi, who do you think she is? If Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Sachi Devi is his mother, then who do you think Srimati Sachi Devi is? Yashoda, yes. She is actually Yashoda. And Lord Chaitanya's father, who is Jagannath Mishra, he's actually Nanda Maharaj. And all the personalities who appeared 500 years ago for this Lord Chaitanya Leela have their corresponding identities in Krishna Leela. So his name is Sachi Nandana. Everyone say. Very good. So he said, may this Supreme Lord be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. So what does that mean? We have this expression in English, heart of hearts. Means that place in your heart which you reserve for your most beloved. Everybody has a most beloved. Either a husband, a wife, father, or son. But for those who are transcendentalists, that is reserved for God. For a transcendentalist, the innermost or heart of hearts is reserved for God. There is a very nice verse in the Brahma Sanghita. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva ridyeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. That when our eyes are smeared with a ointment, the ointment of love of God, when that day comes, when our eyes are totally smeared with that ointment, love of God, then we will see God always. All the time we'll be seeing or feeling or hankering for the presence of the Lord. So the devotee in his heart of hearts is always seeing this form of Shyama Sundara. Everyone say. That same Shyama Sundara appeared 500 years ago as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the composer of this song is blessing you. Blessing you. May that Lord Chaitanya, who is none other than Krishna, may he be situated in your hearts. Do you like that benediction?
Yes.
If you like that benediction, then you are very fortunate. It means you have some appreciation. Because to appreciate Lord Chaitanya, to even know about Lord Chaitanya, is not ordinary. Not that many people know about Lord Chaitanya. Yes, you ask anyone in India, do you know who is Ram? Everybody knows Ram. Everyone knows Krishna. But how many actually know this Channa avatar, the hidden avatar? That's Lord Chaitanya. That number is less. So the fact that you can appreciate or understand, that's a great blessing upon you. Let's go to the second part of this shloka. Please repeat. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, please. He has appeared in the age of Kali. By his causeless mercy, to bestow what no other incarnation has ever offered before. So let's look at this part two. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. So I already established that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And Krishna's complexion, Shyam, he is beautifully blackish, like a dark rain cloud. And not just black, but beautifully black. And even this word black is not actually the proper word. There's no actual English equivalent for this word, Shyam, because it's a transcendentally dark blue or blackish color. But what can we do? English language is limited. You do the best you can. So here it says, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. Why? Here is why he's called Channa Avatar, Prahlad Maharaj. When he was glorifying, who did Prahlad Maharaj glorify? Narasingha Bhagavan. Everyone say. So, when Prahlad Maharaj glorifying Narasingha Bhagavan, he said, you sometimes come as a channa or a hidden, disguised avatar, because the Lord does not appear as a Leela avatar in Kali Yuga. Many times people ask me, Prabhu, it says in Gita that wherever there is a discrepancy in religion, the Lord comes. This Kali Yuga is so bad. Why isn't the Lord coming? And the answer is, he doesn't come in the age of Kali. Not as a Leela avatar. He does come, but not in the way people expect. He comes in the form of Naam avatar. That's the incarnation of God in the age of Kali. The holy name of God. And people are thinking, that's not good. Yes, it is. It's as good. Krishna was already here 5,000 years ago. How many people understood him? Very few. Very few. Why Krishna's going to come again in Kali Yuga? Nobody's going to understand him. They'll beat him with shoes. No. So, Krishna came in the Nama avatar, the incarnation of his holy name. But he does come as Channa avatar, hidden, disguised. He's doing a covert operation. Governments do that. It started with Reagan, maybe even before. Covert military ops, black ops. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing, but they're toppling governments and doing so much hanky-panky around the world. So God, they get that from God. He's the one who started that. Krishna came in Kali Yuga, but not as God. This Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna, but he's not coming in that role as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's coming in a different role. role-playing. He's coming as a devotee. Why is he coming as a devotee? Because he's teaching us personally how to surrender to Krishna. When Krishna left Bhagavad Gita, the final instruction, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Ang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashami Ma Sucha. Krishna's instruction was to surrender. But people are saying, why I have to surrender? So Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, and he personally teaches us by his own example how to surrender to Krishna. Now, why did he come with molten gold complexion? He came because who is the best devotee of Krishna? Srimati Radharani. That is the meaning of her word, name. Her name comes from a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami said, because the gopis, the night of the rasa dance, when Krishna left the gopis, who did Krishna leave all the other gopis, and who did he leave with? Srimati Radharani. So all the gopis then said, that gopi who Krishna left with, he left all of us. Because during the rasa dance, Krishna was dancing. There was one Krishna for every two gopis, but each gopi was thinking, I am dancing with Krishna alone. And then all the Krishnas disappeared, but one Krishna left with Radharani. All the gopis concluded, she must have worshipped Krishna better than us. That is the meaning of this word, Radha. Everyone say. Means one who has worshipped Krishna the best. Nobody can excel. Nobody can even come close. So, the best devotee of Krishna is Radha, and Krishna is coming in Kali Yuga to teach us how to surrender. So he's going to take the mood, the sentiment, the mentality, and even the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. There it is. Hari Priye, the one who is most dear to Hari. So Lord Chaitanya came. He's Krishna. But he's coming with the mood, mentality, sentiment, fervor, and complexion of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna's blackish complexion became overcovered by the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. Now, what did it say? He has appeared in the age of Kali. And when did the age of Kali begin? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the day Krishna left this planet Earth 5,000 years ago. That was the beginning of Kali Yuga. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam several times. When did Kali Yuga begin? The day Krishna left this planet, Kali Yuga began. So this is the age of Kali. We have already passed 5,000 years, and it gets worse. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, you may think, how could it get any worse? It does. It gets worse and worse. That's why Prabhupada said, don't stick around. Don't stick around for the final incarnation of the age of Kali, Kalki. Kalki comes at the end. Prabhupada said, you don't want to stick around for that incarnation. Make sure you finish up your business and go back home before that. And especially The time to go back now is in the next 10,000 years, the golden age within the age of Kali. That's now. Lord Chaitanya only appeared 500 years ago, so this golden age has just begun. But Kali Yuga is also advancing side by side. But there is a grace period, you know, with your credit card bills. They give you a grace period, right? They give you 20, 25 days. You pay off your bill. There's no interest charged. So similarly, although the age of Kali is advancing, there's a grace period that lasts 10,000 years. So these are the years to take full advantage of what Lord Chaitanya is giving. By his causeless mercy, this is another point, we cannot force God to do anything. We cannot say to God, you must do this. You owe me. Doesn't work that way. He's in the superior position. He doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. So that's why it's called causeless. There's nothing to cause God to do anything. Whenever he does something, he does it out of his own absolute free will. So Krishna, at the end, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, when Krishna went back to his home in the spiritual world, Krishna was thinking, I just came, but they did not understand me. I came, I displayed my pastimes, but most of the people misunderstood. They didn't get it. So now I'm going to come again, and I'll teach them personally. So now it says, by his causeless mercy, he came to bestow what no other incarnation had ever offered before. So that begs the question, and that's part three. Please repeat. The most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service. So, we read, we hear, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhi Jana Atma Nivedana. These are the nine processes of bhakti or devotional service. And those of you who know me, you know that I always stress what Lord Chaitanya stresses. That of these nine processes, the first two are the most important, hearing and chanting, which is what we do in these Sankirtan parties. This is a party. This is a Sankirtan party. Not the kind of parties that they're having now in bars and restaurants and sinful parties. There are many, many unlimited sinful parties. But what he did today, this is a spiritual party, transcendental. It's called Sankirtan. This party, you will become greatly benefited. Even you don't know it, you're going to get benefited. It's called Agyata Sukriti. Unknowingly, you're getting benediction. So there are nine kinds of devotional service. Hearing and chanting is most important. And there are different rasas or relationships that you can have with God. There is shanta, passive, dasya, servant, sakya, friendship, vatsalya, parental, and then this topmost, madhurya. So, Lord Chaitanya came to give the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Now here is where it gets very, very confidential. Because Lord Chaitanya's movement is giving people an opportunity to understand and love God in this mellow or rasa of conjugal love. Now this is very, very exalted. But Krishna, in this form of Lord Chaitanya, has the maximum compassion, as does Srimati Radharani. After all, his whole mood is the mood of Radharani. So Radharani's mood is one of utter compassion. So this mellow of devotional service and conjugal love is the highest, most brilliant, most complete, most exalted. And Lord Chaitanya has come to bestow this upon anyone and everyone. And to understand it, to appreciate it, to digest it, several things are required. Are you ready?
Yes,
all right. So, first thing is, you have to understand it. You have to learn about it. That's called sambandha. That's why Srila Prabhupada gave us so many books. These books are there to educate us. And there's enough information that will last you more than one lifetime. There's enough information. So first, we have to read and get our interest piqued by this concept of the most exalted mellow of devotional service in conjugal love. So that's one reason why we read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in order to get some information. I'll give you an example. Monday morning, this coming Monday morning at 2 o'clock, my wife and I are getting on a plane and going to Santiago, Chile. I'm going to go there. I go there every year at this time for preaching. I like to spend this Gaura Purnima week in Santiago, Chile. It's my favorite city. It's my favorite temple. No offense. But for me, Santiago, Chile is my favorite place on the earth. And this year my wife is accompanying me for preaching. So for the last 2 weeks, my wife has been reading all about Santiago, Chile. She's never been there. I've been there 5-6 times. So she's reading all about Santiago, Chile. So in the same way, we should read and learn as much as we can about this most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love, in order to get ourselves enlivened, enthused, the Sanskrit word, utsahan. Everyone can say that nice word. Yes, the first principle of successful spiritual life is to have utsahan. Gadadhar, he has utsahan for two things, dressing the deity and chanting. Am I right? Right? Chanting, singing. I have utsahan, as you can tell, for eating them sometimes. So, we want to get utsahan, enthused. That's the spiritual master's job. The spiritual master's job is to enthuse you. My job as the speaker is to enthuse you. I rack my brain day in and day out how I can enthuse the audience that I speak to. That's my constant meditation. What can I say? What can I do to enliven and enthuse the audience? So we read about this mellow of devotional service, radiant, and by reading about it, then we get some enthusiasm. Then the next stage, abhideya. Now we act in such a way that we can acquire it. Reading about it is one thing, but now I have to act in such a way that I put myself in a position that I can actually attain it. So that's called Abhideya. And that is why we need a spiritual master. A spiritual master engages us in practical activities, how to achieve the success of spiritual life. That's the function of a spiritual master. To engage us practically, not theoretically, practically, so that we can achieve. Just like it says on my card, spiritual trainer. That's what I am. I'm a spiritual trainer. Some people, they go to a health club, they get a physical trainer, and the physical trainer beats them up practically. Makes them run, makes them do sit-ups and crunches and more, more. He's like a slave driver. And then the person thanks, oh, thank you. Here's your thousands of dollars. And then he goes home and overeats anyway. But the idea is there, a trainer. So I see myself as a spiritual trainer. My job is to train people how to achieve success in spiritual life. I'm simply repeating the instructions of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and then sharing that with those who are inclined. I'm open to anyone and everyone. Anyone who would like me to be their spiritual trainer, there's no charge. It's free. But I can train you how to achieve success in spiritual life. Then the third thing, the fruit, the result, the end product. You read about it. You acted in the appropriate manner. Then you should get the result. That's why Prabhupada said, this is science. Bhakti is a science. You heard it, you got the information, you acted appropriately, now you should get the result. It's scientific. What is that result? That result is, according to what this verse is saying, that you will achieve a position of devotional service in this mellow of conjugal love. And that is unique to Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya's movement means you have every opportunity to achieve, what does it say here, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service. And the amazing thing is, it starts with chanting the Maha Mantra. It's very simple. That's where it begins. And that's why it's called the Hare Krishna movement. Krishna, Krishna. So, we are fortunate here that in this temple we have the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just as you see on the altar, Radha Raman Bhagavan, Prabhupada nicely writes in the introduction of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no meaning to Krishna without Radha. And there's no meaning to Radha without Krishna. How to understand that? Can you have the sun without sunshine? Can you have a flame without heat and light? Similarly, Radha and Krishna are one, but they've manifested themselves eternally as two. Last Sunday, I was in San Diego, and before my class, some high school students from Riverside, they came up to me. They were on an assignment from their school. So they're asking me so many questions. And they were all followers of the Catholic religion. So I was explaining to them how Radha and Krishna is one, but they've separated themselves eternally into two. I said, even in your Catholic religion, you have the same concept. One God in three persons. Oh, the light went on. Click. So in this way, they could understand. Prabhupada also writes in that introduction, what is Radha and Krishna? It's the exchange of love. It's the exchange of transcendental spiritual love without any inebrieties. There's no check. Krishna's love for Radha increases unlimitedly, and Radha's love for Krishna increases unlimitedly. There's a competition. So there's so much that we can learn. And what's also amazing, when you read these, Prabhupada mentioned there are four main books to study. Bhagavad Gita. How many people are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? Everyone should be reading Bhagavad Gita every day, without exception. So Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, or Chaitanya Charita. These four books, these are the main books of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada says, if you learn these four books, you'll know everything that you need to know. It's sufficient. And I've been reading these books since 1973. And still, it's a new experience every time. There's more there, more that I didn't see the first time. Even this verse that I read tonight, I must have read this verse hundreds of times over the last so many years. But tonight, again, something new was revealed. These books are not ordinary books. Prabhupada even once said, he did not write these books. They were written by Krishna. So these are very, very special. Prabhupada's books are very, very special. It's because of Prabhupada's books that I'm even here today. From the first time I read a pamphlet written by Srila Prabhupada that had such an amazing effect on me. And of course, the book that did me in, Prabhupada's Krishna book, that was the one that sealed my fate. After I read The Killing of Putana, I closed the book. All right, I'm joining Prabhupada's movement. I had enough of this hippie life. These books are very powerful, and there are thousands and thousands of people all over the world who have written testimonials how reading one of these Prabhupada's books has changed their life forever. There are thousands of testimonials. So this week, I urge you, I put straw in my teeth. I will follow in the footsteps of the great Prabodhananda Saraswati. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he used to preach like this. My dear sir, you are so aristocratic. My dear sir, you are so intelligent. My dear sir, you're so wonderful. I'm a fool. I don't know anything. But with straw in my teeth, I fall down at your feet. I flatter you hundreds of times. I beg only one thing. I only beg one thing. Forget everything you ever learned and try to understand Lord Chaitanya. This week, I'll be, as I said, I'm going to Santiago, Chile. The whole week, I will be simply absorbed in understanding and relishing and appreciating Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I beg you to do the same. Please try to hear and read about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will get immense transcendental benefit. I urge you, I beg you, please this week read and hear about Lord Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Any question, challenge, criticism, complaint, argument, let me have it. Yes, somebody has something? That means you all accept what I said?
Yes.
How many are going to actually read about Lord Chaitanya this week? What about the others? What happened? I have to beg more? I'll beg more. Yes. If you want to hear about Lord Chaitanya, tomorrow morning at 10:30, I'll be back here. I do a almost weekly class on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I encourage you to please come. Otherwise, raise your hands. Let's end this class by repeating after me. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita. Gadadhar. Srivas. Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Thank you very much. May you get the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.